Okay, ladies, we are on source one of sheet 29. And as Abby said, it's very hard to actually believe that we've got through 29 sheets, but we have, and there are many more to go. There's Rav Hashem. I am leading up to sheet 30, which is going to be next time, which I'm going to deal with all the different groups, the Tzedukim and the Baitusim and all these kind of people that affect the halachic process at the end of the Second Temple period. But first of all, we have to see something about Hillel and Shammai. And one of the interesting questions that comes up when you're dealing with the Tanaim or the Amoraim or even Gedolei Israel is, to what extent are their lives as individuals, to what extent does that impact on the way that we understand their Torah and their times? Meaning, do biographies help us to get a handle on something Torani in the people? And there are different views on this. For example, a more yeshivish crowd tends to not go into the lives of the people at all, because they say, look, what's interesting is their Torah. You know, if you want to be a Jewish studies academic, then you go into the life of Hillel. You can do a PhD on what Hillel had for breakfast. That's not as important as what Hillel says. On the other hand, there are people who feel, no, getting a grip on the lives of the people and the time and the context gives you some valuable background. There are a couple of books that I didn't reference here, but I would recommend. First of all, there's a small book by Rabbi Steinsaltz. You know Rabbi Steinsaltz? He wrote out a book many years ago called Talmudic Images, which are short biographical sketches of the people in the Talmud, the rabbis, the Tanaim, the Amoraim. A much longer book, four books, in fact, were brought out over the last 4 or 5 years by Rabbi Benny Lau. Rabbi Benny Lau is a young, he's about my age, or maybe that's still young, very active, very vocal, part of the Dati Lumi community. He is related to the whole Lau family. He's a cousin of the chief rabbi, Rabbi David Lau. And he is quite controversial. In terms of the Dati Lumi movement, he's perhaps one of the more, what you might call, modern orthodox voices within the Israeli Dati Lumi scene, which is, if you know what I mean and how the scene works, you'll understand what I'm talking about. I haven't got time to get into that more. And he's quite academic. He did a really fascinating, by the way, PhD thesis, which you can also buy, on the methodology of the works of Rav Avadi Yosef. That was his PhD thesis. Great PhD thesis. But he wrote a series of books over the last few years called the Chachamim. And they've been translated, at least 3 out of 4, into English, called the Sages. They are detailed biographical sketches of the individuals, bringing in the politics, bringing in the different things they say all over Shas and Yerushalmi and Midrashim, and trying to piece together from their Torah an insight into their life. Now, some of those books are a bit controversial. Some people find that a little bit too academic, detached for them, and others feel it's great. But if you're interested in getting some biographical context, I really strongly suggest that you read those, either in Hebrew, the Chachamim, or in English, the Sages. They're really interesting, and you can get them at bookstores in America or in Israel. Now, having said all of that, let us look into the lives of Hillel and Shammai a little bit, because it'll help us to understand the times, and that will help us to understand what's going on with the Torah. First of all, a couple of sources you've seen before. Hillel is responsible for the shift of paradigm, number one. Shebetchila, originally, says the source here, in Sukkah, Keshenishtachacha Torah, when the Torah was, what's shichacha? What does this shichacha mean, literally? Forgotten, but it doesn't mean forgotten in the sense no one knew what Torah was. But something had to change, a paradigm had to change. A methodology had to change. At the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, Allah Ezra, so Ezra came up, Mibavel the Yasta, and re-established Torah. And we saw what Ezra did. He did a ton of stuff. They started making more Tikkunos and Gezeiros, and he changed the scripts and all that stuff we talked about. Chazra, once again later, Nishdachacha, and Torah was forgotten, quotes and quotes, meaning a new paradigm shift was needed. Allah Hillel HaBavli V'yasta. So Hillel HaBavli, again from Babel, came up and re-established it. Now, Hillel's appearance was very famous and very important, and I want to look at it in a little bit of detail. Number three, Hillel, we already saw, was Roy to have Nevuah, except that the generation wasn't Roy for Nevuah. We saw number two before, but number three is where he really appears, and I want to look at that in a little bit of detail. Have a look in this source in number three. Tanu Rabbanan. Halacha zunit alma b'nei b'seir. There was a halacha which was forgotten by the b'nei b'seir. The b'nei b'seir were the people who were running the Beis HaMikdash before Hillel came. Okay? In Israel, in Eretz Israel. Pam achas chala ba'as aliyos b'shabbos. The 14th of Nisan fell on a Shabbos, 1 year. The shachu, and here they just didn't know. Or it seems that they didn't know. Again, this word shichacha. They didn't know. V'lo yadu im Pesach doche es haShabbos imlav. They didn't know if Pesach overrode Shabbos or not. Amru, so they said, Klum yesh adam shiyodei im Pesach doche es haShabbos. Is there anybody here who knows whether Pesach overrides Shabbos imlav or not? Now, by the way, what's funny about that question? What's that? No, Pesach Pesach can fall on Shabbos.
This year
Pesach falls on Shabbos. Erev, this is Erev Pesach falling on Shabbos, okay, which can also happen. This can also happen. But what's funny about the question? Yeah, they're asking everybody. Is there anybody here who knows that? But also, these are the Talmidei Chachamim leading the general. Why don't they know this? And also, is this a rarity? No, every few years, Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. Even if you don't have a fixed calendar, by a law of averages, it's going to happen quite a lot. Why can nobody just remember what they did last time? Amar lehem, the people said to the Bnei Beseira, oh, there is somebody who might know. Adam Echad Yesh Shalom Babel. This is this new man who came from Babel. Hillel HaBavli Shema, he's called Hillel the Bavli. Sheshimesh Shnei Gidole Hador Shemai Vartalia. What does Shimesh mean? He served, but not just served. What is Shimush? Not observed. He not just learned. He was Masham. Have a look at for a second. Skip over to page number 8. So source number 8. Look at source number 8. And let's just look at this issue of Shimush. Just move over here for a second so I can see you. Yeah? The Gemara in Bracha says, Afilu Kara, even someone who was Kara. What's Kara? No.
Reading
what? Torah, even someone who learns Torah Shebichta. Vishana, what does Shana mean? What's that? Yeah, but it means something not just in his technical thing. Kara, Kriya, is Torah Shebichta. Shana is from the word Mishnah, Torah Shebichta. Even someone who learned Torah Shebichta and Torah Shebichta. V'loy Shimesh, Tamid Chachomim, but he didn't do Shimush. He didn't do apprenticeship. He didn't learn the real way the religion works. He's an Amaretz. Ah, he knows all of Chumash, he knows all of Shas, on that sense. He's not. He's an Amaretz. Why? Rashi says, what is Shimush Tamid Chachamim? Who are Gemara? This is what we today call Gemara. Hatzluya besvara. What does Tzluya besvara mean? It depends on reasoning, thinking. Shimush Chachamim means you don't just know the psak. You don't just look it up in the art scroll summary of whatever. You know the inner workings of how the whole thing functions. Shehayu noislim divrei Mishnah Tam. You're able to give the reasons for things. You don't just know psak. You know, the guidelines book is really good. I like them very much. You can learn the whole of an area of halacha, or you can revise it in 25 minutes. You can read the book from it. You know which books I'm talking about? There's books called Guidelines. They came out like...
Oh, yeah.
You know, a friend of mine who went to school with me actually wrote... He's one of the co-authors of the books. They're great books and they're very useful, but there's no tam, meaning that they don't teach you the reason behind anything. They just teach you yes, no, no, yes, yes, no, no, yes. Which is fine, because that's what they're designed to do. But says, you know, Hirashi, that Shimush Tam Chachamim, you have to know the underlying reason. So Hillel, he was told, did Shimush. It's not just that he knows what to do, he did Shimush as well. But Yoideya, back to source number 3, please. But Yoideya in Pesach Dochez HaShabbos Lava. He'll know the answer. Shalchu v'karola, they sent for him, they called for him, v'amrulo, and they said to him, Krumata Yoideya ma Pesach Dochez HaShabbos im Lava. Do you know if Pesach overrides Shabbos or not? So what did he say to them? Quickly. Ki Pesach echad yesh lanu b'shana, she Dochez HaShabbos, do we only have one Pesach a year, that's Dochez Shabbos? V'halo harbi yosem im atayim b'psach, we have 200 Pesachs a year. B'shana Shedoche es Shabbos, the push off Shabbos. Which Pesach is he talking about? Six. We have hundreds of korbanos every year. The push off Shabbos. Which ones? Korban Tamid. Amar lo minay lechesed. They said, "What are you talking about?" Amalein. They said to them, "Nema moyadoi." We saw this before. Yeah. It says the word moyed moado b'pesach, but nema moado b'tamid, and it says the word moado b'tamid. And there's a gzeirah shava ma moedoi ha'amo b'tamid dochez haShabbos, just like the word moado in its correct time indicates with the korban tamid that it pushes off Shabbos, meaning you have to bring the tamid at the right time. Doesn't matter what day it is, even if it's Shabbos. Ach moado amo b'pesach. Similarly, the word in Pesach indicates dochez haShabbos. So he brings first the gzeirah shava. Va'oid, and second, kal v'chomer. There's a kal v'chomer. Ma tamid she'ein onish karos. Just like a Talmud which hasn't got a Kares. We saw this before, right? Doiches HaShabbos, it pushes off Shabbos. Pesach She'einish Kares. Ein Adin She'doiches HaShabbos. Surely Pesach, which is more serious, more severe, more significant in terms of punishment than Talmud, must have at least the same strength as Talmud. Miyad, look what it says here, immediately. Hoshivuhu Barosh. What does that mean, Hoshivuhu Barosh? They made it ahead. The Bnei Bezerra stepped down. They said, you're going to be the leader of the Jewish people. We knew Nasi Aleihem, and they made him the Nasi. And the Hillel became the house of the Nasi, and the house of Hillel. Vahaya Doiresh, and he was Doiresh, meaning what? Doiresh means? What's Drasha? These are code words. What's Drasha? He was learning things out through hermeneutics, exegesis, Kol Hayom Kula, Behilchas Pesach. Fine. Hitchil Makantra Bedvan, he began to give them Musar Malem, he said to them, Mi Goyrim Lachem, She'el Abba Mi Babel, how? Why did it happen to you that I had to come from Babel the year, Nasi Alechem, and I had to be the new leader? Atzlus Shehai Sabachem, because you're lazy, he said. She'loi Shimashtem, Shnei Gedoli Hadoi, you didn't do proper Shimash. Meaning, I did Shimash, I know the reasons, you didn't do Shimash, you don't know the reasons. Then he gives them a whole load of Musa. And then, of course, Midah Kenegin Midah, he forgets something, and there's a whole story there. Fine. That's how it's presented in the Bavli. Look at the subtle difference in the Yerushalmi. According to the Bavli, what is Hillel bringing to the party that they didn't have before?
Ways to
dash and things out. What's he learning? Gezeirah Shavas, Kal Vachomers. Look at the Yerushalmi. The same version, number 4. Source number 4. Says the Yerushalmi, Afal Pisha Hay Yoshiv Adorish Lahem Kol Hayom. Even though he sat all day long making droshes for them, Lo Kiblu Mimenu. They didn't accept him. Add, until Sheama Lahem, Yavo Elai. I'm sorry, it should come to me. Kach Shamati Mishavai Vatalion. Kach Shamati Mishavai Vatalion. What does it mean, Kach Shamati? I received this, I heard this. Kevin Shishamu Mimen, as soon as they heard that from him, Amdu Minot Nasi Alehem. They made him the Nasi. What's the difference between the Babli and the Yerushalmi in terms of the stories to how they made Hillel the Nasi? Yeah.
The Babli says that he figured it out himself, and the Yerushalmi says that
he listen to this and think about this. The focus of the Babli is very much on his ability as a darshan. He's machadish. He learns Gezeirah Shavas. He learns Kal Vachomers. And they will go. They went psh, and they appointed him as the leader. The Yerushalmi is much more focused on Kabbalah. I have a Kabbalah from Shammai V'Afe. Oh, you have a Kabbalah? Oh, the Seder. Yes.
Isn't that the Torah of Chutz La'aretz, the Torah of Shabbos?
Very much. And you're bringing Rakuk to the party.
Just thinking that we learned that earlier in the year, but you told us about the idea of
Chachma. Oh, the Chachma, you see coming out in Hillel as well. The Yerushalmi is focused much more on the chain of... The Yerushalmi is focused more on his Kabbalah, what he received, as opposed to the analysis. It's a different kind of Torah. Look at what it says in number 5, in the Yerushalmi again. Amar Rabbi Levi Megillas Yuchsin Matzav Yerushalayim. They found a Megillas Yuchsin. They found a scroll giving all the genealogies. The Kosovo, what was written on it? Hillel min de David. Hillel's from David HaMelech's family. Again, why is the Yerushalmi telling me that Hillel is from David HaMelech's family? Yes, so does that matter? Now, if you're into the whole issue of chain of tradition, the Yichus is more important. But if you're into the analysis, it's perhaps less important. Have a look on the top of page, the next page. So, we see that Hillel brought, and we've seen this before, I'm not doing it now, Hillel brought a number of new methodologies to the Jewish people. They did the 7 of the 13 Midas that we said that Hillel brought in, Gezeirah Shavah, Kal Vachomer, etc. He popularized them. The Meiri asked a very fascinating question. Look at number 7, I hope you cap this question. Amru, Kan, Ubatalmud Hamarav. He says that we see this story brought in a number of places, says the Meiri. Azikne Beseirah Shehayu Nesim V'Yoidim Bamin Hageim. They were the leaders of the Jewish people. B'cholara, they knew what was going on. V'amru Aleihim Pam Achas. And it says about them, Ne'elam Mehem in Pesach Doche Shabbos. They didn't know where the Pesach was Doche Shabbos. Says the Meiri, V'davazeh E'efshar. That just can't be. It's not possible. E'efshar L'farashu Kaputo. You can't explain this Gemara on a surface level. Shehari enacha shmita. There is no 7-year period. Shelo yehi arba asa benisan ba b'toicha pam achas b'Shabbos. You can't go 7 years without at least once it falling on Shabbos. Meaning, does nobody remember the last time Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos? So look at how the Meiri explains what's going on. Ella, rather, what did they not know? They knew the halacha. Hatam ne'elam mehem. What does that mean, hatam ne'elam mehem? They knew the halacha, but they didn't know the reason. What does that mean, they didn't know the reason?
They didn't know why.
They didn't know why. They didn't know how to prove it. V'nitbayshu b'dava. They were embarrassed. V'amran, they said, yesh kan adam shiyodeya in Pesach toches Shabbos. What does that mean, does anyone know in Pesach is toches Shabbos? Kolaymer, i.e., sheyodeya lahochiach kan kein min hakasuv. What does that mean, lahochiach min hakasuv? Oh, so what you see is something fascinating. And this is leading into what we're going to soon learn, Be'ezrat Hashem, in second semester, is the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah and the Gemara, the Talmud, and we see the embryonic birth of this here, is the need to try and not just know the halacha, but prove it. Show where it comes from. Prove how things derive and where they derive from. And the whole process that we later become familiar with as Talmud, as Gemara, is beginning this process. And now Hillel, in fact, was one of the first people that started putting together what we later call the Mishnah. And you see the beginning of that process. And the Meiri is telling us that something's shifting. It's not that they didn't know the halacha. Of course they knew the halacha. But it was no longer enough to know the halacha. You have to know the halacha and where the halacha comes from. That's a whole new system which needs to be part of the Torah now as well. Now, Hillel and Shammai represent two different approaches to this. Shammai was much more of the Yerushalmi. Shammai was a Yerushalmi. He wasn't a Bavli. Shammai was much more of the kind of school of Kabbalah, of not yichus in the sense of like it matters who your daddy is, but yichus in the sense of you have to share, there's a traditional approach to this. Hillel was much more the, if you like, you tell me. Hillel was much more the Darshan, okay? Have you ever come across, there's a very fascinating piece in the Netziv, which I may have made a reference before. Did I tell you about this? What is this? What does this word mean? Did I mention this word before? Earlier in the year? What does that word say? Eshtat. What's an Eshtat?
A fire of knowledge.
A fire of knowledge. Not knowledge, that doesn't mean knowledge.
Religion.
Religion. Where does it say in the word Eshtat? Where does it say that in the Chumash? Do you know? No, nice try, good try. There is a posuk in Vezos HaBracha.
Oh, I'm so right,
there's a posuk in Vezos HaBracha.
I
can't believe I never told you this before. There's a posuk in Vezos HaBracha that says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah with his yamin, with his right hand, it said, Eishdat Lamo. He gave it to them as an Eishdat. What is an Eishdat? So there's all sorts of ways of learning that on a pshat level. I'm not getting into that now. But the Netziv says the Torah is two things. It's Eish and it's Dat. What is the difference between Eish and Dat? Dat means religion. It means a tradition. It means this, an aspect of Torah which is passed on in Masorah, generation to generation. Eish is much more of a fire, meaning there's an aspect of Torah which takes everything we had before, reanalyzes it, if you like, burns it up, breaks it down, and then reformulates it. And there are generations, says in the Tziv, of Dat, and there are generations of Eish. For example, the Tosfos. What Tosfos do on the Gemara was very much which? Dat or Eish? Eish. They take the Gemaras, they crunch them all up against each other. This conflicts with this, and this conflicts with this, and this conflicts with this. There must be that the halacha is this. From all the conflict they create, if you like, a new halacha. From the Eish they bring out a new understanding. Whereas other generations, let's say the Shulchan Aruch, is much more a Dat, meaning let's consolidate, let's put it together, let's clarify it and paskin it. So the Netziv goes through all the generations and he says the Ga'onim were Dat and Tosfos were Eish. And it could be that in the 20th century, after the Netziv, the Mishnah Berurah is more of an Eish. he takes everything and he, you know, raises cashes from all over the place. And it could well be that the Yerushalmi is more of a dat and the Bavli is more of an esh. The methodology of the Bavli is very much to ask caches and to analyze and to crunch. And it could be that Shammai was more of a dat and Hillel was more of an esh in that sense. The Hillel HaBavli. Now that's not to say that that reflected in their personalities, because Shammai was known to be less of a patient person and Hillel was known to be more of a patient person. Don't get the impression that Shammai was not a nice person. That's just silly. Shammai is the one that says in Pirkei Avos you should always greet everyone with a smile. But Shammai is a Rosh Yeshiva. You don't mess around with a Rosh Yeshiva. You all know there are certain teachers, if you want to ask a stupid question, you don't ask it to this teacher. I don't know, maybe they're all teachers you can ask stupid questions to. But I know in Yeshiva, you know, people who were in Rav Soloveitchik's chair, they thought very long and hard before they raised their hand and asked a question. Because if you ask a question and it's a stupid question, you know, there's a phrase in the Gemara, says the Rosh Yeshiva looked at him, as the Gemara says, and he turned into a pile of bones. Yeah? Now that doesn't mean literally he's got laser, you know, vision. It means that there are certain times when you ask a question, now you're not allowed to do this anymore, certainly not in seminary. Everyone has to be a winner, you know? Every question's a good question. Oh, I have to validate your question. Like when I was at school, if I asked a stupid question, you were told you were a complete idiot. Okay? Not quite, but we had to come to the front of the class with a Bible, because it was a non-Jewish school, there were lots of Jewish boys there, and we had to read Psalm 22, verse 6. The teacher would say to us, take the Bible, boy, and read. Stand in front of the class, read Psalm 22, verse 6. What is Psalm 22? Actually, to this day, I can remember. Psalm 22, verse 6. You open it up, no, and it says, for I am a worm and not a man. Okay? And you have to basically read that in front of the class in order to be publicly humiliated. Should we do that?
Yeah.
If you ask a stupid question, you must come to the class. Now, Shammai was the... look at number 11. Look at number 11. Famous Gemara in Shabbos. Shammai and Hillel. There's a story, three stories of Nudnik Geirim, who had Nudnik questions. Okay? Shebalit ne Shammai, the Geir comes to Shammai. Amalei says to him, Kama Torah yesh lachem? Amalei, Shtayim, two Torahs. Torah shebichtav, Torah shebal peh. Amalei says to him, Shebichtav ani ma'amincha. I trust you when it comes to your written Torah. That comes from God. God I trust. Says on the dollar bill, right? Ushebal peh. But with the oral Torah, rabbis? Ani ma'amincha. I'm not interested in rabbis. Who knows, you know? What do they say? They could be making it all up. Please convert me on the basis that I only learn Torah Shebichtav. So what happened? You know the end of the story. We learned at the beginning of the year. What did Shammai say to him? Get out of here. And what did Hillel say to him? What? Sure. And how did he teach him? Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet. And then the next day? Dalet Gimel Bet Aleph. You know, he mixed it all up. And he said to him, look, you need me, you need me. In other words, the approach he took was a different approach. Look at the second Maisa. Shuv Maisa Benochri Echad.
Oh, wait, Hillel said yes.
Yeah, he accepted it.
Yeah, but he tried to. He didn't just say yes, but he said yes on condition.
On condition. He showed him by analysis, he showed him by Svara that his Svara was wrong. His Svara was wrong. Okay. Shuv Maisa Benochri Echad Shibalik Ne Shammai. Amaloi Girani Amanashi Telem Nikola Toki Kulo Sheani Oimed Al Regal Achas. This is really famous. Can you teach me the whole Torah while I'm standing on one leg? So what does Shammai do? Look carefully. Dachvu ba'amat ha'binyan shebayado. He pushed him out with the amat ha'binyan. What's an amat ha'binyan? A building ruler. Why was Shammai carrying a building ruler? He's not a builder. He's Rosh Hashiva. He's not carrying a building ruler. What's an amat ha'binyan? He's saying to him, you don't measure up. What is this? You're asking stupid questions. How can you learn the whole Torah on one leg? That doesn't work. That's not correct. It doesn't fit. Get out of here, you're asking silly questions. He comes to Hillel, he converts him. And what does he say to him? The famous lines. What you don't like, don't do to other people. That's the whole Torah. It's a beautiful line. Zuhikola Torah Kulai. Bein Adam L'chaveru is the whole Torah. The Idach and the rest. Perushahu, it's a Perush. Now you have to go and learn. There's a lot to say about that. And the last one, the Ger comes to him and says, convert me on the basis that you can make me into the Kohen Gadol. He sees the Kohen Gadol and how they treat the Kohen Gadol. Meaning, Hillel, Habavli, was not just a person of Svora, but was a person of extreme patience. And it says something about the methodology. Well, again, Hillel says the way that you approach this person is not by telling him you don't shape up, but by... I tell you something. I knew the guy who was in charge of conversion at London based in, maybe still is. He said he has a folder this thick with letters from every crank, every weirdo in the world who wants to convert to Judaism. Yeah? And he says there's lots of strange people who want to convert to Judaism for all sorts of strange reasons. For all sorts of strange reasons. He said we have enough cranks and strange people in Judaism already without needing to take in a whole bunch more. But it's very interesting to see. On the other hand, there are some amazing people who convert to Judaism for all sorts of interesting reasons. Do you know how many of the Tanaim were either converts or descended from converts? It's remarkable when you think of how much Judaism came into Judaism from the non-Jewish world. Rabbi Akiva was descended from converts. Rabbi Meir was descended from converts. Shemaiah and Naphtali on themselves were both converts. Reish Lakish was a freedom fighter. Reish Lakish was like a vigilante.
Wasn't he just a highway robber?
No, he wasn't a highway robber. It's the wrong chap. Reish Lakish was a fighter, and he was part of the whole movement. This was after the Bar Kokhba, you know, and all that kind of. He was a guy who was like a right winger. He was an ultra, you know, right wing guy who was into. Rabbi Yochanan found him, and he said to him, you know, you have all this kayak. Instead of being a political extremist and running around kidnapping people, you should focus it into Torah. But I'm not sure. My son once told me that he had a whole shiur about how Reish Lakish wasn't a highwayman. God forbid, wasn't robbing people. He was a kanoi. Anyway, that's not for now. Ladies, I want you to look at the top of page 3 and see where I'm taking this. See where I'm taking this. Hillel and Shammai, okay, don't argue very much at all. But Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai pick something up from that. Have a look just for 1 second at source number 13. Amar Rav Huna, b'shloisha mekayma shnechelku Shammai v'Hillel. Only in 3 places did Hillel and Shammai themselves disagree. Maybe there are 5, the different discussions as to exactly how many. But Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai disagree hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Why? What happened? What crept in to the Beis HaMedrash, if you like, the Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai were so much more against each other than Hillel and Shammai. What I want to show you here... Oh, it's something came out of their schools of thought. Go back to number 12 for a second. Beis Shammai Omrim. Beis Shammai took the view. Al Yishane Adam, a person shouldn't be learning. You shouldn't be teaching this person. Ela Misha Hu Chochem. Has to be a Chochem. The Anav. U Ben Avois. What's Ben Avois? Good Yichas. The Ashir. Right. U Beis Hillel Omrim. The call Adam Misha. Shehar bi poishim hayu behem bi Israel. How many people were there in the Jewish people who were not so great? Poishim. They were sinners. V'niskarvu l'talmud Torah, but they came close to Talmud Torah. V'yatzu mehem tzadikim v'chassidim v'kasherim. Now, what is the difference in methodology between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel?
How come they include Ashir in there?
It's what? Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff?
How come they include Ashir in there? Rich. Yeah.
Rich, meaning they were someone who was maybe going to be immune to bribery, that they...
I don't know that later when the issue this isn't given about all the rich people were able to afford it anyway.
Really?
Because they won't be able to afford it. All the issue about home are rich.
They're most of the money you get are the wealthy,
well-to-do, the big families in the community. Because every day...
Which period are you talking about? Much later?
The 1700s,
the yeshiva period. Right, so we didn't have yeshivas. Only in the 1800s did we first have... Right, so what is the difference between Shammai and Hillel's approach? Beis Shammai, rather. Beis Shammai is more elitist. There's no question about it. The Beis HaMedrash is not open for everybody. It's only open for certain people who can check the boxes. Whereas Beis Hillel said, no, I'm sorry, we have to have a more inclusive approach. And you see the seeds of this already. Just look at some of these very scary Gemaras. There's some really upsetting things you see, and when you learn next week about the Sadukim and the Baitusim and the Purushim, etc., you'll see that this is also coming from within the Jewish people itself. Look at number 14, fascinating debate. Habot Selagat. The technical context for this is as follows. in Hilchot Tuma and Tara, if I pick an apple off a tree, but it never got wet after it was picked, it cannot become Tame. Even if a Tame mace, even if someone who is very, very Tame touches it, holds it, picks it up, it will not become Tame. A fruit, a piece of fruit, can only become Tame if it's been wet after it was picked. Now, the question here, the Shaila in Halacha is, if you're harvesting grapes and some of the juice oozes out of the grapes accidentally, is that liquid sufficient to make the grapes susceptible to Tama, such that you're going to tell the people who are gathering them that you can only go and harvest the grapes if you yourselves are Tahor? Are we makpid on that liquid? You understand the question? Right, so look at what he says. Haboitza legap, someone who is harvesting in the threshing floor, okay? Shammai omrim, Shammai says, huksha, the liquid makes the thing susceptible to tumah. This is the word huksha. Hillel omrim, Hillel says, loy huksha, no, it doesn't, disagreement. Amaloy Hillel Shammai, and Hillel raises a question on Shammai. Nipneima boitzrim b'tumah, according to you, why do you have to harvest grapes in Tara? There ain't moiskin b'tara, but you don't have to harvest olives in Tara. Olives also ooze juice. Olive oil. So it's inconsistent. Hillel says to Shammai, I don't understand your reasoning. According to you, you have to be more careful with grapes, but with olives you don't have to be careful. Why is this? Amaloi. So Shammai says to him, Im taknitani, if you get at me, if you ask questions like this, goes Rani tuma afala masika, I'm going to make a gezera also on the olive harvest. You're asking me why is the olive harvest not in the gezera? You know something? I'll make it in the gezera. How do you like that? Strange of an answer. Natsu cheriv bebeis hamedrash. They thrust a sword in the bet midrash. The amrin, they said, hanichnas ikanes. People can come in. Hayotze al yasin. No one can go out. But oisa hayom, and on that day, haya hillel kafuf. Hillel was subdued. For yoshev lifnei Shammai, and forced to sit in front of Shammai, ke'echad min ha-talmidim. Like one of the Talmidim. The haya kashal Yisrael ke'yom shenaseh ba'egel. And something, if you like, snapped in the Jewish people. This was as difficult as upsetting, as disturbing, traumatizing. The debate between Hillel and Shammai had turned a kind of corner. Something new had happened, and Shammai's response was not on a certain level what it should have been. And this had an impact. And this impact cannot be ignored. Look at number 15. Vishirabu Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel, Shelo Shimshu Kol Tarchan, and the Talmidim came along who didn't do sufficient Shimush. Harbi Machlokas b'Yisrael, there was so much Machlokas. We saw that, we studied Machlokas. Machlokas increased, Benasu Shtei Torahs, and it was like we now had two Torahs. We now had schism. What's schism?
Separation,
religious separation. We had almost like two religions. We had Beis Shammai Torah and Beis Hillel Torah. Okay? Number 16. Umishum Hanach Muhumois Ushmadim. Because of all of the what's Shmad? Like persecutions by the outside. Vishibushim. Shehayba Oisaz, man, it was such a confused, difficult time. All of the fighting that was going on, because of course this was the Romans, this was the Herodian period. Herod, King Herod, lived at the time of Hillel and Shammai. Loi Shimshu al Talmidim Kol Tzarchan. People just didn't learn properly, didn't do Shimush properly. But Nafishi Machlokas, and all the Machlokas increased. And we saw that the Rambam looked at this as a source of Machlokas and said that that's because people are not able to focus properly. They're not able to really be on the same wavelength in the same way because they just can't get it together. The persecution is just too strong. Similarly, number 17, Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel, Shalosh Shanim Nechelku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Halo Amir Halach Kumaseinu, Halo Amir Halach Kumaseinu. There were lots and lots of machlikod, which they weren't able to resolve. There was even a famous period, look at number 18, I know I do this quite quickly, but it's not straight, it's not complicated. There was a famous something that happened in the attic of Hananiah ben Chizkiah. Look at this number 18. The Elu Mina Halochas, there were certain halochas, says the Mishnah in Shabbos, She'amru, which they said, Ba'aliyat Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gurion. In the attic of Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gurion, Kishialu Lebakru, and they went up to visit him, Nimnu, they took a vote, V'rabu Beis Shammai el Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai suddenly became the majority. Who was normally the majority? Beis Hillel. There was one occasion when Beis Shammai, famous occasion when Beis Shammai was the majority, the Yud Ches Dvarim Gazru Baba Yom, and they decreed 18 things that day. In other words, Beis Shammai suddenly got the, it's like in the Lahavdel in the parliament or in the house or whatever, representatives. All of a sudden, they found themselves with a majority and they pushed through a load of legislation. That was called Oysa Hayom, that day. But it wasn't just a majority. It was something more than that. Look at number 20, says the Yerushalmi about that day. Oysa Hayom, what happened on that day? Another day, which was I missed one out. Number 19. Ben Gurion, the Tosefta picks up on it. They passed these 18 things. Gazru baba yom. Again, why was it so hard that day? Why was that day so tragic, like the day they worshipped the eagle? So look at 20. Very scary. Oysa hayom hayakashli Yisrael kiyom shenasabat eagle. Says the Yerushalmi, why? What was so terrible that day? Okay, so they had a majority. Beis Shammai were a majority. So big deal. Says no. Tana Rabbi Yeshua, Oniya Talmidei Beis Shammai Amdu. So the Talmidei Beis Shammai stood. Milamata, downstairs. Remember, they were in the attic. They stood downstairs. The Hayahorigin, and they were murdering Talmidei Beis Hillel. The Talmidei Beis Hillel. Tani, as it's taught, Shisha Mehem Alu, six of them went upstairs to the attic. The Hashar Amdu Alehem, and the others stood guard on them. The Charavos with swords, Uberamachim, and with spears. Meaning, the Machloikis Beis Hillel Beis Shammai turned into, on that day, an actual war. An actual physical war, where people picked up spears, people picked up swords, people actually began to kill each other physically. When they burned the Sifrei Rambam, at least they weren't burning the people, they were burning the Sfarim. Okay? But here you had what Baruch Hashem, we've avoided the Jewish people almost the entire time. If you look at the Christian religion, if you look at the Muslim religion, there are civil wars built into the religions, whether it's Protestant Catholic, whether it's Shiite Sunni. There are people, I mean, just look 2-3 days ago, the Taliban in Pakistan, they went into a school with guns and they killed 132 children, Muslim children. Muslim fighters killing Muslim children, 132 children in one school. Thank God we've avoided this for most of our history, but there were periods in our history where we were teetering on the brink. And this was one of them, where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was not just a machlokas anymore, but it became actually a massacre. Yeah.
Does that mean that really Beis Shammai wasn't greater than Beis Hillel, but Beis Shammai was killing Beis Hillel?
Well, greater in what way? Meaning?
No, I mean more people. I mean, he took a vote, but if people were downstairs killing other people,
maybe that's how they ended up with a majority. Meaning the majority was, if you like, imposed upon them. I don't know whether they had a majority because they killed that part of Beis Hillel.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So then, if that's the case, then they didn't really have a majority.
Ah, but they had this technical majority and they forced it through. And what did they? What kind of stuff did they pass? Just one second, Hannah. What kind of laws did they pass? So I want you to see the kind of laws that Beis Shammai were passing, because you'll understand from this what's going on with next week with the Dead Sea Scrolls and all that. But look at number 21. Shmona Asa Davar Gazru. What were these 18 things that they made a gezerah on? Now you see a bit of context as to how this day happened. My Nihu, Shmona Asa Davar, says the Gemara Shabbos, what were these 18 things? And they're all very technical halachas in Tumah and Tara. Elu Poslis is a Truma. Certain people passel Truma. Truma is food which is very sensitive to Tumah and Tara because it's given to a Kohen. So it says certain people invalidate Truma. Ha'oichel, oichel, rishon, somebody who eats food which is itself tamei, which on a Doraisa level they're not tamei, but they become Drabonon tamei. Ha'oichel, oichel, sheni. I'm not going through all of them, it doesn't matter. But they're all highly technical, rabbinic fences in the laws of Tumma and Tara.
This is not something that should have been excluded.
Like, you know, what the Jewish people is falling apart. And Beis Shammai are focusing here on pushing through 18 gezeiras in the laws of extra fences in Tumah and Tahara. I once heard Rav Herschel Schechter, he was talking about this, and he said, this itself is symptomatic. There's nothing wrong with gezeiras in Tumah and Tahara. Halacha is very important, and protecting Tumah and Tahara is very important. But at the moment when the Jewish people are in flames, You get a chance to have a majority of what is it that you're bringing in.
The
stuff which is focused on the ritual, like where's the Bein Adam L'Chaveira? What's happening with the Bein Adam L'Chaveira?
They're killing people. They
didn't
care about
the
Bein Adam L'Chaveira.
But they're killing.
It's not a majority.
They're
the only people there.
Okay, so they're
not a majority.
But they locked the building. They stopped them
coming out. Anti-bias, because obviously
The focus was skewed. Look at the last source before we finish. Look at number 22. Tan Rabbanan. I brought these all from different places, but if you put them together, you get an interesting picture. Tan Rabbanan. Maase says in Gemara in Yoma, there was a story. B'shnei Kohanim. There were two Kohanim. You may know the story. Shehayu Shneim. I told you once. Shehayu Shneim Shavim. They were both equal. They used to run up the ramp to see who was going to be the one who was going to get the avoda. It was like a lottery kind of thing. So they like a race. They ran up the ramp. So they were equal. Baratin ba'olim bekevish, and they were running up the ramp. Kadam echad mehem. One of them got ahead of the other guy. Latoich arba amas shel chaveru. He got into his four amas. V'natal sakin, and he took a knife. V'takaloi belibo, and he thrust the knife, and he thrust it into his chest to stop him from winning the race to get the avoda. Ba'aviv shel tinok. The father of the young boy, he calls him a tinok, he wasn't a baby, but the father of the young boy who'd just been stabbed came, ran in, saw his son bleeding to death on the floor, twitching. Matsu, kashihu mefarfer, he was still kind of twitching, like people who were about to die, just twitching in the last throes of death. Amar, he said to him, oh, harihu kaparaschem, we're saved at last, he said. Adaim b'ni mefarpe, my son at least is still twitching, but lo nitma sakin. And the knife didn't become tamei, baruch Hashem. Because if the knife would have been tamei, we'd have had a tamei knife in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's
what you hear about.
Says the Gemara, lelamdachai teaches you, shekasha alehim tarat kelim. The tarat kelim was more significant to them, yoseh mishvichas damim.
I don't know in what context we did it.
But when you put that all together with this period of time, this schism, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, which is turning into not just a religious fight, but a political fight, which is turning into a religious war, and the Torah is turning into two Torahs, when you put this together with the massive focus on highly detailed ritual laws as opposed to basic Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, you end up with a situation which is really problematic. Which is why you get a feel when the Churban Bayis Sheni, which is really what's coming now, why Chazal said when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, it was just Eitzim Va'avanim. Meaning, it was already destroyed. The Jewish people already destroyed their own Beis HaMikdash. What does it say? Kemach Tachun Tachanta. You already ground flour which was already ground. Meaning, there was nothing to be destroyed. We destroyed it ourselves. And the clear moral coming out of this is that the one thing which destroys the Jewish people, no one can destroy the Jewish people. No one has the strength to destroy the Jewish people apart from the Jewish people. Okay? And therefore this division and this lack of unity, that is clearly what caused the Churban, the Sinat Chinam, etc. And it had an effect on the halachic process. And we'll see that the fusion, the synthesis of Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai in the person of Rabbi Akiva, which we'll see when we get there, was the beginning of the rebuilding. That's the rebuilding. From there you can now have a new thing, which is a Mishnah. You can have a unified approach. You can have a Gemara. And that's produced the unification of the Jewish people. For the last 1800 years, we've been halachically unified. In a way which is stunning in many ways. Almost no machlokas on a deep halachic level. That is because of the incredible effort that the Jewish people put in after this to stop this ever happening again. Now is the first time since then that we've ever been back in our own country with our own parliament, with our own people, with our own army, with our own police force. And now is the test, if you like, as to whether we've learned the lessons of history or whether we haven't learned the lessons of history and whether we can keep that unity together today when we have all the opportunities that we have. So we'll see. Be'ezrat Hashem, we will have learned our lessons. Okay?